This has been my prayer for you, church, for years, but especially this past year, as we face so many challenges and we've been constantly been given the temptation to turn everything we face into a controversy. That's why we decided this month to take a look at love handles, not the ones on our side, but the ones in our hearts, in our minds, to get a grip on what love is and what love isn't. You see, there's a better way. There's a better way than always being in controversy, always being angst. And that way is something that the Apostle Paul talked about to a church he wrote a letter to in the city of Corinth, Greece. It was a church he had planted, a church he loved. He was no longer there, and he wrote them a letter because they were going through a lot of controversy. They were a hot mess. If you read through the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll see it was just a mess of a church. They believed in Jesus, but they'd become so self-centered, and it was all about them and what they wanted to do, their rights, and all these other things that they became self-centered, self-absorbed, and then everything became a controversy. The controversy of the day was over what we would call spiritual gifts. And so we are going to drop into this conversation at the high point. At the high point of this conversation, we call the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When Paul said, "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts," he's talking about these spiritual gifts, "and yet I will show you the most excellent way." The most excellent way was not another gift. It was not the greater gift. It was the most excellent way. It was this. It was the way of love. This is the way. It's not a feeling. Happy Valentine's Day. And that's good, and that's wonderful, and that's warm, but love, the kind of love we're talking about here is not a feeling. It's an action. It's an unselfish action. So let's learn more about it. If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to put the words on the screen. We'd love to give you one. It can be your Valentine present today. You can pick one up at the Welcome Center on your way out. 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament of the Bible. So if you're on your on an electronic device like your phone, scroll way down near the end. But it's in the New Testament, so it's more than three-fourths of the way through your Bible. And there are two letters that Paul wrote to the Corinthians that we have, first and second. Together, they're kind of long. You ought to be able to find Corinthians and then find your way down to 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. We're going to start at verse 7. Last week, Randy walked through what is, without a doubt, the greatest definition of love that has ever been written in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. If you were here 2 weeks ago when I introduced this series, I told you that the New Testament, I reminded you, the New Testament was written in the book, in the Greek language. Greek was the most common language in the first century European, African, Middle Eastern, and Asian world. And so the New Testament was written in Greek. The Greeks had at least four different words to describe love. We have one word for love, love. But they had four different kinds of words. And the one that the Bible uses the most, agape love, was used least among the Greeks because it was so rare. You see, agape love, the kind of love we're talking about this week, is not love of a feeling. It's not brotherly love. It's not affectionate love like on Valentine's. It is a different kind of love. It's a godlike, unselfish love that initiates, that gives action. It's freely offered to others, even others you would feel like don't deserve your love. That's what agape love is. You give it anyway. And obviously, this is the kind of love that would be impossible for us to demonstrate without the Holy Spirit living in us. The Holy Spirit that gives spiritual gifts is also the Holy Spirit that shows us the most excellent way to live. He empowers us daily. It's a kind of love that our world and our community here in Southern and Central Missouri County needs so desperately to see in us. And I hope to explain why today. It's the kind of love we read in verse 7 that always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Agape love never fails. Have we not tried everything to solve our problems? We've made some good efforts. We have all kinds of things. We have good laws. We have elections. We have science. We have education. We have good economic ideas and all those things to help. They're all good. They're all valuable gifts, and they should be used in the right place, but they all at one time or another fail us. None of those is a game changer. And none of the good things we get from any of these lasts permanently. That's what Paul was trying to tell the Corinthians when he paused in the middle of a discussion about spiritual gifts to show them the most excellent way. Gifts can fail us. Even spiritual gifts can fail us, but love never fails. He drives the point home about gifts. He says in verse 8, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, this is a good promise, when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. Completeness is not here yet. Completeness is not the 2020 election or the 2024 election, which will then be the most important election we'll ever face, you know. It always will be. But that won't be completeness. Completeness is not when this pandemic is over and we don't have masks or vaccines to argue about. He goes on. Paul says, beginning in verse 11, he said, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. And then he addresses this problem of not really knowing what to do, how to move forward. He said, for now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. The mirrors they had were dim. They're not the glass, the clear glass like we have. They're usually probably metal. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Completeness, folks, what Paul is talking about here, completeness is heaven. Completeness is heaven when we will leave this world and enter eternity with Jesus. Then we will fully know. We'll know where we've been right and wrong. We'll know all the answers to the questions that no longer matter anymore. But even more than that, we'll be fully known by God. And we'll experience being fully loved by Him. But until then, God fully loves us. But until then, we have to figure out how God created us to live with each other in the here and now. The challenge we face is the same challenge the Corinthians faced in the first century. Right now, the way forward for us in so many different ways is like looking into one of those mirrors in a public restroom that's made out of metal. It's dull and scratched up, and it's really hard to get a good view there. It's unclear. That's okay. Because something that is clear, something that does shine through is love. Love is the future that casts its rays of light into the present. Love can show us how to move forward. Paul's point is we're best when we lead with love. That's what I want you to write down and remember. Lead with love when you can't see the way forward. Lead with love. Begin with love. Think first about how can I be loving? We cannot afford to talk like a child, to think like a child, to reason like a child. That's what causes so many of our arguments. The ways of a child are right for a child. It's okay. But the ways of a child are wrong for an adult man or woman. Toys give way to tools. Rants give way to reason, or at least they should. So many times it would seem like some of us would be satisfied just to clear a spot and throw a fit and let everyone know how mad we are about whatever. That's not the way. What does it accomplish? I think we need to learn the lesson of the glacier and the avalanche. Think about the two. The glacier seems to do nothing as it just inches along year after year. But an avalanche, boy, now that makes a difference. You can see that. It makes a huge splash, but think about in the long term. A glacier creates a Yosemite National Park. An avalanche, its results can hardly be seen a few years afterwards. It doesn't last. It's a big deal when it happens, but it doesn't have a lasting effect. Love lasts. Love lasts. Love is a glacier. It's slow. It's slow. It takes its time. It takes a lot of time, but it works. Real agape love, like a glacier, has a long-lasting effect. That's what we need to concentrate on, what will last forever. Paul circles back in verse 8 to the controversy that led him to talk about love in the first place. That controversy was over the gift of tongues. Now, tongues is something we don't talk about a lot. Speaking in tongues could have been one or two things. We see two different kinds of examples of speaking in tongues in the Bible. One can be speaking a language that you've never learned, and the purpose of that was evangelism, to tell people the good news of God in a language that they knew, even though you didn't know it. That's one kind of love. It's the kind of tongues that we saw in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost in You can read about it in Acts chapter 2. That was a kind of speaking in tongues. But more than likely, this was referring to a different kind of speaking in tongues, and it'd be more like a prayer language. And the problem with the Corinthians, they had elevated this gift of tongues to the highest level. This was what they all wanted to do. This was what shows you're a real Christian if you speak in tongues. And yet Paul said, it's the lowest. It's the least of the gifts. They elevated it because it looked so cool. It made them seem so spiritual and so in touch with God and closer to God. But what this gift of tongues had done for them is because they had become so self-centered with it, it created division and conflict in their church. Paul used the way of love, leading with love, to turn their attention outward to love of God and love of others, more than love of self. You see, love is essential for the spiritual gifts to have any effectiveness. Love is essential for any other good deeds or gifts, for that matter, to have purpose and impact. Moreover, love is self-denial. It's not looking out for yourself. It's looking for others. That is why Paul went into such a detailed description of the unselfish attributes of love in verses 4 to 7. When he returns to the subject of spiritual gifts after chapter 13 and 14, he encourages them to pursue prophecy because it's a gift that could help others. It wasn't about them. Do you notice a theme here? Have you seen this theme in the Bible? In so many different verses we read all over the place, the theme is our lives as Christ followers need not be selfish. They need to be outward focused towards others. Now, someday, Paul talks about when completeness comes, we won't have to be reminded of that because we'll be in heaven with Jesus. There we'll experience completeness. Selfishness won't exist in the completeness of God's presence. And that'll be great. But for now, that's not the way it is. How do we flip the script here in our world from selfishness to selflessness, like Randy talked about last week as he worked through the descriptions of love? How do we do that? How do we live in this broken world where it's so easy to throw other people under the bus? It's so easy to call out people. It's easier to call out people's sins than to help lead them away from those sins that are so destructive to them. How do we do that? There's only one way. The way of love. Look at how Paul ends this description of love in verse 13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It's love. Faith and hope are something we feel internally, and they guide us internally. They're like a compass that help us cut through the doubt and confusion and keep moving on even when we can't see a way forward. But the greatest of these is love. Love, agape love, is an action. It's not a feeling. It's something we choose to do. Love is a choice too in everything. Do to others as you would have them do to you, as Jesus said, the golden rule. To do to others as you would have them do to you, as you would have them do to your kids. Do for others as you would have them do for your parents, or maybe your children, your spouse, your brother, your sister. That's what agape love is. Love is a decision to be quick to listen, so to speak, and slow to anger. To bite your tongue when you really want to say something. To step away from the keyboard when you want to send out another tweet. You're probably on your phone. Love is a lifestyle of not merely looking out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Listen, lead with love, because love will outlast everything. Love will outlast everything. Love will continue when everything else you try has an expiration date. Elections have an expiration date. Scientific knowledge has an expiration date. Economic theory, all these things, education, it all has an expiration date. We learn something more, something different, something better. But love, love lasts forever. Let's apply that thought to where we live right now. This is kind of the point of why we chose to have love handles and get a grip on what love is and isn't. Let's start with the tough one. How do we bridge the political divides, the racial divides, pandemic divides? How do we bridge those divides? Well, first of all, we have to want to. We have to want to. And as a Christ follower, I want to call out to your better nature to not think of other people as the enemy or as always being wrong, but instead of just being of a different opinion. even if you believe they're wrong. How do we bridge those divides? Well, we can start. We can start by spending some time with people. Find someone you know who thinks differently, or who looks differently, who acts differently. Invite them to coffee, or out to lunch, or have them over to your house. If we would spend time with people who have really different opinions than us, we can find we've got a lot more in common than we have that separates us. That's how we lead with love. You take the first step. How do you restore friendships and broken families? Well, the way you could lead with love would be to call that person that you unfriended on Facebook or the brother-in-law you cussed out at Thanksgiving dinner when everything was going so well. Remember that? You be the first and say, hey, I'm so sorry for the things I said in anger. Let's not let an election divide a family or end a friendship. It's not worth it. That election's temporary. There'll be another one in 2 years, another in 4 years. Let's keep our friendship, our family together. How do you bring a child back home who's been seduced by lies into believing that the truth, the real truth, what we know as truth is a lie, and what are lies they believe are truth? How do you do that? Well, just telling them the truth is not going to last as long as loving them. Look for every way possible you could spend time with them and demonstrate to them that you love them no matter what, whether they ever change and come back to what you know is truth or not. Just to love them and spend time with them, period. Listen, keep in mind, their sin will not love them. Their sin will not make them healthier or stronger or better as the years go on. Their sin will ultimately destroy them. But your love as they live on and you continue to love them, that will become like a beacon pointing them to what is true and right. As their world that may seem so great for now, for the next 10, 20, 30 years, but it eventually they'll see a difference if you just continue to love them unconditionally. How do you rebuild a marriage that seems to have been mortally wounded? This is where your love has got to be like a glacier, where you don't feel like you're making any progress at all, but you just keep loving. I would suggest a way you could lead with love is to pull out your Bible and read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7, the love verses, the description of love. Read that before every phone call with your spouse, before every court deposition, before every time you meet with them, and beg God to help you to love like that, which is so unnatural, especially when you're hurt or you're depressed or you're grieving. Ask God to help you love that way. How do we restore confidence in authority? That's one thing that is really sad, and I've watched this get worse and worse my whole lifetime. How can we restore confidence in law enforcement, in government, our elected officials? How can we restore confidence in those? Well, one of the ways is to assume the best in others. Don't assume that because somebody is in some position or maybe of a different party than you are, don't assume that they're terrible, that they're awful. Assume the best about them and assume that you can trust them until they prove absolutely untrustworthy. And don't pick up others' offenses and other people in other parts of the country's offenses. Don't believe everything you hear about them. Assume the best in others. We've got to restore confidence in our authority figures. Something that was very big in this last election, especially for Christ followers, is the issue of abortion. How do we make abortion unthinkable in our lifetime? How can we do that? Well, to lead with love, we can start by let's stop demonizing the pro-choice crowd. That never saved one child. But investing in ultrasound machines where people can see that that's not an embryo, that's not just a fetus, that's a life, that's a human being. Investing in ultrasound machines can and does save lives. So does investing in the life of a mom who has an unexpected pregnancy. That's how we can love. That's how we can lead with love. That's how we can make abortion unthinkable. I would encourage you to volunteer or contribute to our Pregnancy Help Center. They not only save lives, they invest in the lives of the young mothers. All the objections that people in the pro-choice crowd would make, Pregnancy Help Center here and others like it all around the country invest in the lives of those moms and their families, the fathers, and the children, and they have long-term relationships with them. And the dial is moving on that in the right direction. Brothers and sisters, what do we want to be known for? Our rants, our raves, what we're against, or who we, or whose love we reflect? What do we want to be known for in this community? How can we reflect that love? How can we show this intentional love moving forward? How can we do that? One way we have chosen to express love for our communities is a thing we call Servolution that we're going to be doing in a couple of weeks, and you'll hear more about it later today. That's one way we can express love. It's not an end in itself. It's not just like, oh, wow, we just loved our community. We're good for another year. No, no, no. It's a start. But it's a good start every year, near the first of every year, to show our communities we love you, and we want to make this community a better place for everyone to live, not just us. As we think about how to live and how to lead with love, we live in a dark world. But instead of cursing the darkness, let's look for ways to light a candle. That's what we can do. That's what love can do. God, I pray that you would help us to see this. Lord, help us to see that your love, your agape, unselfish love is something we can't work upon our own, but it is a way you've shown us to live. It is the most excellent way. God, help us to get that. Help us to figure that out. Help us to love others the way we want to be loved. God, help us to love when it's so hard and it seems like it's not working. God, show us ways, even little bitty, tiny, small ways, to light a candle in the darkness that points to something that people don't understand, but they can tell is different and good, and that's your love. God, help us to find the most excellent way forward in the challenges we face. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to leave you with this thought. I came across this a few years ago in a devotional booklet. It says, some leave trails of hate and bitterness, others trails of love and harmony. Some leave trails of cynicism and pessimism, others trails of faith and optimism. Some leave trails of criticism and resignation, others trails of gratitude and hope. Ask yourself this question. What kind of trails do I leave? What will last from people's impression of me? What will I leave behind me? What kind of trail do I leave?